You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. Is it all your fault? I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So I don't decide.
902 on the West Coast. Yeah. Vietnam Memorial dedicated 5th Marines. Dedicated on Monday, 11 o'clock. Get there early, trust me. Joining me is a proud member of every battalion in the 5th Marines and the headquarters element. The man, yeah. The man, the myth, the legend himself, Michael Musselman. What is up, Tex?
What's going on, man? No, that's right.
Now, do you consider 2-4 part of the 5th Marines or just kind of like...
No, man. No.
Thank you. So... Explain how 2-4 is in that mix.
And they don't have a home.
Yeah, they don't have a home.
They're like an orphan child that's just been given a home.
Yeah. I got a call late last night.
And
go ahead.
And you know, when I was there, the 2-4 guys couldn't wear the 4J. But I have been there when some regimental commanders have let them. And it's like, they're not part of the 5th Marine Regiment.
Bronzy wear.
I mean, that would be like...
Bronzy wear.
That would be like saying... How can he wear it?
He was in 2-4.
See, that's wrong. That would be like saying first combat engineers because they're stationed there too.
So I have to, you know, I have to think about that. I'm honestly shocked a little bit. Yeah, I gotta.
Well, here's check this out. I was at regiment.
Yeah.
And you know, do you remember John Kiwi, the Kiwi?
Kiwi, no. John Kelly? Kiwi Kelly? Or John Kiwi?
Yeah.
John Kiwi?
No, John Kiwi Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember him.
Not John Kelly, not the one.
Not the White House Kelly, Kiwi Kelly.
Yeah, Kiwi Kelly.
Yeah,
Kiwi Kelly was my XO when I was there. And, you know, he was, I think he got out. And he had some back issues, but, we had a gal who was working for, she was like a liaison from division.
Did you just say gal? Right. Did you say gal?
Yeah, some gal.
What are we like in a John Ford Western movie? Gal? What the hell is that? Is that, are you going Texas on me?
Well, she was a gal and she was some gal.
She was all right. She's a gal. When we say gal, we're talking about a minigun. We're not talking about a woman.
A gal is a minigun. G-A-U. Gal. I'm talking about a gal. G-A-L.
All right. All right, so go on. Okay. So there's a gal.
So there's a gal working for us from division.
Yeah.
She's like a liaison for a little bit. And she's a captain. And we were having something to do with alphas. And I walked by her office, and she had a 4J on.
Oh, no.
And I was like, whoa, what? So I walk in there, you know, me being the personality I am.
Why?
And I said...
Why did you have to do this? This is like your vendetta against the Coast Guard.
Yeah, so I walk in there, and I'm like, you know, what? And so I asked her, I said, what... What's with the 4J? She goes, oh, aren't we wearing alphas today? Like trying to be a smartass. And I said, yes, we are. But only those in the 5th Marines can wear the 4J. She goes, I am with the 5th Marines. And I go, no, you're attached to us, but you're not in 5th Marines. You're just working here. You know, you're part of division. And I forgot what her job was. And so she's like, Gunner, I am in the 5th Marines, and I'm going to wear this 4J. And I said, okay, whatever. So I went down and told Kiwi Kelly, and then she walked by Kiwi Kelly's office. She had that thing on, and he said, whatever her name was, like, Cap Smith. Yes, sir. Take that 4J off your uniform. You're not in Fifth Marine. Yes, sir. And so when she was walking back to her office, I just kind of gave her that nod, like, you know, hey, that was telling him, wasn't it? You know, boy, you got a voice.
And you wonder why people hate you.
Well, that person, I could care less.
Okay. All right.
But the rest of the Marines and Fifth Marines, yeah, for what I did, that was something. It was a win.
That was a win. The Forger police. Yeah. Hey, who's the Forger Nazi? Oh, that's the gunner. Les gunners. Because I speak a little bit of French. Les gunners.
Well, and I was the Forger police, right? I used to get on people when they would put it on the button over their epaulette, and it was like, shit.
Come on.
And you take your epaulette off, and then you put it on the button, and then you put your epaulette back over so it blends right in. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Come on.
And then you got to give it a couple wraps so it doesn't hang. You don't see that little cord, right?
Right. It's called being It's called being a professional.
Right. I even made a slit in my blues when I was an enlisted guy and tucked it up in there, you know, so it looked like it was part of the uniform. I didn't like to just wrap it around the button a couple times and that was it. I'm like, no, man, you're going
to
wear this.
You
wear this with pride.
Did you need to make a slit? On officer.
On your blues, because, you know, enlisted blues, epaulets are sewn. They're all one piece. I mean, it's sewn to the uniform.
Yeah, officer, the button on that is detachable. So you got a hole that you can drop it through. Interesting.
Right.
Interesting. The Forger Nazi. So last night, Montana Man calls me, at 9 o'clock at night. I'm like, what do you want? He's like, nothing. I'm like, then why are you calling me? He's like,
did he apologize?
No, he's like, you guys were pissing me off the other day. I said, for what? He said, I only had 3 people to supervise. I said, well, that true or not? He said, no.
He said what?
He said, oh, that I only had 3 people to supervise, the chaps, the deuce, and the 6, and I failed on all 3. I said, well, what part of that was inaccurate? He goes, oh, no. So just so you know, he's a little bit fragile right now. He's a little bit fragile.
Well, he knows that we're just messing with them.
I know, but I think he was a little butthurt because there was maybe a little bit too much truth involved in it.
Right.
And then he played the victim card on me. He goes, you guys only pick on me. I said, no, we don't. We pick on everybody.
Well, we pick on him a lot, though.
I mentioned a couple things about, I have 2 mutual friend things, and then we got to do Glock talk. Okay, so I go to a funeral on Monday, and I'm sitting next to General McMonagle, and I meant to mention your name, and I forgot to. General McMonagle, he's not a very good singer, and we were singing during the funeral. You got to go get some lessons, man. He's got to go get some lessons. And the other cool
thing. How's he doing?
He's doing good.
Health-wise, good?
Yeah, he's doing good. Yeah, he and his wife were both there. And then we sang all three the verses of Marine Hymn. And you know what? Even everybody retired, you don't have to coach anybody about when to crank it up in the third verse. It's genetic at that point. It was awesome. Then I'm talking to a buddy. Mike was the gunner, not title gunner. He was the vehicle gunner for the battalion commander of 1st Light Armored Infantry or Reconnaissance. I never can remember.
I was both.
He was both. He was dual-hatted. He was the battalion gunner, and he was the gunner. So he's like...
And the master gunner.
He was gunning everything. So his battalion commander, who he was the gunner for, both vehicle and battalion type, is a buddy of mine named Duffy White. Duffy and I were in Quantico. If you've listened to the program over the course of last week, you heard Duffy on talking about wrestling last week. And what I'll tell you what, if you missed that, go on the podcast and just put in the word Duffy, D-U-F-F-Y. Duffy came on and was talking about what it was like to be the military aide to the president who carries around the football. and we talked about some stuff he got to do. In addition to being really funny, is his imitation of Bill Clinton pretty good, Mike?
It's the best.
But the stuff he got to do was really cool, and we talked about a Medal of Honor for General Day that sounds like the craziest thing you've ever heard in your life. Anyway, Duffy's telling me a story about, and this is not on the program, but off the air, he's telling me a story about what he's going to do for Memorial Day. He's going to lay the Marine Corps wreath at a ceremony in Nashville. He said, so all the services are there. So this is our conversation. All the services are there, Mac. There's Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force, Coast Guard. I said, wait a minute, Coast Guard's not a service? He said, what?
Right.
He said, Coast Guard. I said, Coast Guard's not a service, not in the DOD. He said, who told you that? I said, Gunner. He said, look, the Coast Guard's in the fight every day. I said, Duffy, there is security
out there. They're not in the military fight.
There is security.
They're in the Homeland Defense.
There is security apparatus. They're not in the DOD. And he's like, you know what? He goes, stop it. He goes, you sound like him. I said, no, I don't. He doesn't sound as smart, okay? He'd go way stupider, way faster than I'm going right now. Duffy's like,
but
all
I
right.
Made you, it's, see, I've convinced you. They're not. They're part of Homeland Security. Now, they can be in the fight, but shit, the FBI and the DAA and the U.S. Customs were in the fight, too. They were in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't make them a military service.
And the other, hey, and other governmental agencies were there as well.
Doesn't make them DOD.
Right. I'm not saying, just saying.
Because you're a secretary working in the building in DOD in Washington, does it make you in the military?
It's hard. Right? I know. It's hard. People.
When they retire after 30 years of being a GS like I'm a secretary. I retired 30 years in the secretarial pool at the Department of Defense. I'm a veteran now. I mean, would that be stupid? Or what?
Yes.
We
absolutely.
Would laugh at her.
Yeah.
Him,
yeah.
Right?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. But you should. So I said, yeah. They're not a part of DOD. Who told you that, Gunner? He starts laughing. He goes, I can't get away from him, Mac. I said, yeah, it's crazy. All of our lives are like interwoven. Like I served with him when you weren't around. You served with them. We served with each other. I said, yeah. So he's going to come on actually and talk about, we're going to do a battle study about the march up. So,
What day?
Probably either next week or the week after. Okay. Hey, I want to ask you, before we do Glock talk, I want to ask you a question. There's an article in Task and Purpose about the whole Haditha thing. You have any thoughts on that?
The Haditha dam shooting?
Yeah, the shooting, the aftermath. You have any thoughts on that? I mean, it was a big deal in the First Wing Division for a long time.
Yeah, and I think I was there, when all the facts came out. I remember reading the classified report. And it was kind of astonishing to me, you know, the investigators. There was a lot of kind of also after the fact that, you know, they didn't do things right. They didn't ask the right questions. I mean, it turned out to be a kind of a witch hunt, I guess you should say. So they needed somebody to fall. They needed point fingers. So. I mean, there was a lot of things going on. Now, the Hamdiya came right after that. You know, that was right on the coattails of that. Yeah,
that's right. And you were in 3-5 when it happened, yes?
Yeah, I was in the battalion when it happened.
Right, I remember that. Yeah. No.
But they were working for Dave Furness, so they were part of that unruly bunch of 1-1.
That's
a thorn in his side.
Don't even
still today, man.
Don't even say the number 3 and 5 near him. He loses his mind.
Yeah, if you're gonna say 3-5, you have to say like 3-4-5.
Yeah, 3, 4, 5.
It's okay. But if you said 3, 5, yeah, like, how old are you? I'm 35. He would, you'd see, yeah, him, you'd see him get mad.
You're dead. You're dead to me.
No, I'm 36.
Get away from me.
36.
Yeah. No, I was actually running RCOC the night we did the cordon and, I don't know, when we exhumed the body and then when we put the body back, that that thing was all about. And so, yeah. It was, yeah. The, no, there's a big article about it, and, yeah, that's tough. That's tough, tough, tough. All right, let's talk Glocks. Okay, so everybody, we're going to do Glock talk now, and,
pull up your chairs.
Okay, Gunner sent
your notepad.
Gunner sent me pictures. If you go to the All Marine Radio website and you click on, oh, I got some good news for you. Luke's getting married to his girl.
Luke McConnell is married.
No, not Luke McConnell, you dope. Luke from Alabama.
Oh. And that is good news. Good
Isn't
for
it?
Luke.
Yeah, good for Luke. So
yeah.
I'm working, you and I get invited and go whoop it up at his wedding. So,
well, it's a short drive for me.
I know. I'll fly over and then we'll drive over together. We'll drive.
No, why don't you just meet me there? That's a long drive.
No, we're going to be in the truck together. We'll do the show from inside the truck.
Oh, man.
The, all right. So anyway, if you go there, you'll click on the entry that says Gun Talk, :Glock19. And you'll see the gunners, the pictures the gunners sent over. And so, let me get out of your way. So, okay. So, Mike, you need to,
right,
are you near,
go.
Are you near a computer?
No, why? What do I need to do?
Okay. Well, you know the pictures by heart, so you don't need, so people can.
Yeah, those are, yeah. Those are all 9mm Glocks, 19s or 17s.
Okay. And then talk to me about, those are 9mm Glocks. So, the one that has the casing through the trigger, what is that? Which version of that?
That, the one with the case, oh, that was just the empty casing through the, okay,
right.
So that's a Glock, aftermarket, of course. And if you look at the slide, so Rule 5 does aftermarket slides. They, you send them to them, and they put in a special design.
Right.
And then the grip is, you know, stempled. That means it's been heat treated. You kind of mark it up a little bit so it gives you more grip.
Okay.
And I think on that one it has a suppressor barrel sticking out the front end.
It does.
And it has a Surefire light on it, and
yep,
it's got the Trigicon RMR.
Right, right. Wow, wow. I didn't realize your memory was that good. Okay, so that's one picture. The next one looks like it has an extended magazine, and it looks like it has some kind of yellow,
yeah, that one's cool,
or gold barrel.
That's got the gold barrel in it.
Yeah,
right?
What's that?
Yeah. So that's, again, aftermarket. And so that's what I think they did on that is, one, they cut it out. So they CNC it and they cut it out. But they do an acid wash into that blue to make it that pattern, which is really cool. I mean, I thought that was like really well done, but there's a lot of work that stemple job into the grip is pretty amazing. Whoever did that put a lot of hours into that, because what you see is what he did was he actually polished the polymer, carved it out into different, you know, like the magazine release, everything else is carved out differently.
Ooh.
And then he stemples it after it. But there's a lot of work that goes into that gun. So you're looking at, you know, aftermarket, about $600 just on the frame. About another $500 on the slide, a $400 optic on it, a $300 barrel, and the trigger work is probably another $200. I mean, so he's got probably close to $3,000 back into this gun.
And then that's it's a different kind of light that it has on its rear. What is that?
That's I think it's a. I want to say it's a European design, but
okay. Same.
Can't remember who it is, but it's got a laser integrated in it. Those are pretty nice.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of them.
My next picture.
And then the other ones I sent you would be kind of the what it would look like before he started this.
Okay. All right. So this is the next one is just a single version. Is that yours? It looks like it's on a workbench or something like that.
No, that's a Glock 17. My Glock 17 is all tricked out.
Okay. All right. And then there's then the final picture is four different.
The Glock 9mm family.
Okay. And take us from smallest to largest, from left to right in the picture.
Okay. So the small Glock, I don't own one, so I don't. I think it's a Glock 26. I want to say it's a Glock 26. Don't quote me on that, but I think it's a Glock 26. It's the sub. They call it subcompact 9mm. It's the smallest 9mm.
Okay.
What's not there is the Glock 42, which would be the single stack Glock. But regardless, then you have your Glock 19, which would be the next one.
Okay.
Then your Glock 17, which is considered full size.
Okay.
19 would be compact. And then your Glock 34 is what they call tactical practical. That's the long slide Glock. That, I have one of those too. Those Glocks, and I shoot targets at 100 yards and punch center, you know, and group those things with that Glock all day long.
At 100 yards.
Easy. All day long.
And so that's why we have the longer barrel. It gives us a little bit more length
and it's compensated, so it's got a cutout, so it allows for better management of recoil. I mean, and I got a ported barrel on mine, so again, we're managing better recoil. But those Glock 34s are fantastic, man. They're one hell of a gun.
All right. Text message. What does the red trigger safety mean? So on the, let's see, on the second picture from the top, it's an aftermarket Glock. In the trigger, there's a red lever adjacent to the trigger.
Oh, no, that's just.
What is that?
That's just color. I mean, like, I have a blue one. Your aftermarket, that's the, okay, so Glock has three safeties, one of them being the trigger safety. That middle trigger in there has to be depressed in order for the safety to actually work. So you can get those in different colors. I have a blue one in one. I think I have a white one in the other. He just went with red because I don't know if there's any more red on that gun. I don't know why you didn't go with gold because he's got a gold barrel.
Yeah.
They sell in gold too.
Maybe he's a 49er fan. He likes red and gold. The NFL. How about them? Yeah, getting all after that national anthem stuff. You know what?
Yeah, let's don't get sidetracked.
So you have to depress that in order to depress the trigger. Is there any? It looks.
Yeah,
like,
it's in the middle of the trigger, so you kind of have to do it.
All right.
In order for it to go off.
All right. Well, okay. So now walk us through the Glock 19. Now we've got the pictures up there, so Mike's going to do his thing, and we'll do Glock talk.
Well,
go ahead.
The Glock 19 for me is the best gun there is, man. I mean, because it's considered a compact, it's not that hard to conceal. Plus, in my eyes, it's kind of the cross between a full frame, meaning a full size pistol, and the compact. So usually you have to give. So when you're wanting a concealed pistol, you got to give up size, and comfort and go with something that's smaller and it's a little bit tougher to, you know, hold your hand. Well, the Glock 19 for me is a perfect meld. It's like right in there. It's right in between what you need. You know, it's perfect sacrifice, I should say.
Okay. Keep going.
And plus it's a 9mm, so it's easy to manage. It's a fun gun to shoot. I mean, everything about it is just good. I mean, I really like that Glock.
Okay. Let's talk about features on it. One of the features that you, in fact, there's a picture of it. I probably should post that picture with this. In fact, let me find it, and I'll edit the post, and I'll add the picture. Talk about the difference in silhouettes. When we were talking, I don't know, about a month ago, we were talking about this, and it was and you sent me what, two side by side, were they side by side pictures of the Glock?
Oh, no, it's Height Over Bore. That's not Silhouette. It's called Height Over Bore.
All right, talk about that.
So it's in relation to your wrist. I mean, so the height when you hold it in your shooting hand, the height of center bore over the top of your wrist. You want to make that small as possible. So the shorter that is, the more manageable recoil that you can have. So when that height is longer, that gap is actually higher. Then you get more muzzle flip. You know, you get a lot more felt recoil.
Ooh. What does that mean?
So,
what kind of recoil is that?
I mean, belt recoil is, and I explained this, it's, you know, it's what you experience, it's what you're seeing, it's what you're feeling, it's what, you know, that's what people, when they talk about guns, they're like, oh, my gun always flips up and to the right. You know, you can make your gun flip up into the center, up into the left. Hell, you can do whatever you want. It just depends on how your grip is.
Okay, everybody who's looking at pictures, just refresh that, and you'll see what Mike's talking about. And there's a picture he sent me. You'll see the caption. Why do Glock shooters like that pistol so much? Height over barrel is a big deal. On the left is a Sig Sauer. On the right is a Glock. And you'll see the difference is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah. In some cases, it can be double.
Wow.
And all Glocks are pretty much the same. I mean, their dimensions, I mean, other than the length of the slide and the thickness, because some of them are a little bit thicker, but everything else is just height over barrel, height over bore, you know, remains the same. And the nice thing about them is, you know, like I said, a Glock 21 through, you know, you could be shooting a Glock 21 and you could go right to firing a Glock 37. And even though they're firing different calibers, they're the same feel, the same fit. People knock on Glocks because they all look the same. They're kind of like that black, simple-looking gun. But that's what's good about it, too. I mean, that's what's – there's no extra switches to hit and gadgets and safeties and all that stupid shit on them.
Right, tell me.
They're just simple.
Okay, so tell me a couple things about Glocks that people don't know. Those who don't own Glocks, what don't they know about a Glock? You've talked about the designs and the features, and I've got an email question for you about hand grip. So,
well, one thing about is the parts interchange. Okay, so interchangeability. Most Glocks, again, depending on calibers or sizes, but pretty much all Glocks can share parts, except for, of course, barrels and slides, but triggers and disconnectors and trigger and springs, they're all interchangeable, which is really cool. I mean, that's, you know, now in the family, there would be some like 9mm or only 9mm, but still, the interchangeability is a lot better. Build stripping disassembly, it's probably one of the easiest things you can do with the Glock. Takedown is virtually simple. And then how to take it apart. I mean, I could teach a monkey how to field strip the Glock completely down. You know, I don't even need electricity for the monkey. That's how simple it is.
Okay, email question. But, hey, Mac, I don't own a Glock, but I believe it will be the next one I purchase simply from listening to Mike and how much he likes it, given his area of expertise. For my first Glock, what would you recommend? What are the major differences between the 17 and the 19? What would you recommend for my first purchase?
Well, my recommend is if you're looking to carry it concealed, carry, then get the 19. If you're just looking for target shooting and you're looking for, you know, shooting, you know, for fun and so sport, then go with the Glock 17. You know, it's they're both going to be very similar, but it's just for a matter of what kind of convenience are you looking for.
Okay. All right. So if you're looking for a weapon you're gonna conceal carry, then it's the 19. If you're just gonna use it for target practice and home security, and you're not gonna conceal carry, then you can use either the 17 or the 19. Yes.
Yeah. The Glock 17 is. Don't get me wrong. Glock 17 is pretty amazing gun. I mean, I have a 17. I love my 17. I think the only Glock I don't own in the 9mm would be the Glock 26, the subcompact. I mean, it's a double stacked. It's pretty thick. But it's small. I mean, shoot, that thing looks like in the palm of your hand. So, I mean, it's pretty nice.
Email. Did I just hear him say he shoots targets all day long? And that's a quote, in quotes, all day long at 100 meters. Did you say
that? I mean, I don't shoot it every day, but yeah. I mean,
When you shoot.
I shoot my Glock 34 at targets 100 yards, 100 meters.
All day long, hitting a target.
Oh, yeah.
He ridiculous. Did. He did say that. Okay, just for the record, he did say that. All right. Here's another question. Hey Matt, could you talk to him about treatment for the pistol grip? I've seen some of this stuff online. I'm a little bit leery of doing it. Is it difficult to do on your own if you've never done it, Mike?
Hey, what?
Is it difficult to do on your own if you've never done it?
Oh, yeah. If you're going to want to practice, I mean, because like I said, I have an iron that I've actually made to do this. So the little...
You made?
Yeah.
What does it look like?
It looks like a soldering iron, but it has a screw in tips.
Yeah.
So then what I did was I had some made, some I designed, and I took a flat thing and I etched out a different design. You know, I took metal and I took a little hammer and I chiseled it out and made it my own little designs. But
So hold on. So these are these are soldering tips, right?
Yeah. You heat up the plastic and then you put a pattern into it.
Well, all right. So you've made your own. So what about a kit that you would buy?
I've never seen a kit.
Okay.
I don't know if the neck.
All right. So how do the two weapons the two aftermarket weapons that you have pictured, how is that? Is that done with a soldering gun by hand?
Yeah. So the little soldering iron, you know, like the rod.
Right.
Yeah, but that's all done by hand, man.
Oh, I thought it was some kind of wrap that was heated onto the grip.
Oh, no. That's someone, because you take I take a white chalk laundry pencil, right? So what I'll do first is I'll take a gun all apart. So I just got the polymer frame.
Right.
I clean it, and then I take a sander, you know, a real fine sanding, and I'll sand it all down. Okay?
Okay.
So it's all nice, that everything on there is gone. All the Glock, I don't keep the word Glock on there, but I get rid of all of that stuff. I make it all soft. It's not shiny yet, or matte. And then I'll take a laundry pen and a laundry pencil, because they're like a white chalk pencil you use for, I think you do it from alterations.
Right.
You know, when you mark on it. So I'll draw that whatever design I want on the frame, where I'm going to put the grip. And then what I'll do is I'll take a tip and I'll border that out. So then I'll heat that up and I'll draw the border out. And then sometimes I'll put in maybe an X pattern. One of the little tips I have is like alligator scales. So I'll put in like alligator scales, or I can make snake scales. Or I can just make little dots. Whatever tree bark. Tree bark's easy because all you're doing is heating up it's kind of scored, you know, a little flat post. And you heat up and I pull down. So it looks like tree bark. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff you can do, man.
Wow. Who knew? So where would one have this done? So if they wanna do this to their weapon, so you take it to a gun shop that does.
You take it to a guy that actually, yeah. I mean, so you figure it like this. With my friends, I've charged them like $80 to do their guns. And if they want designs in it, depends on how complicated the design is, but $80 for my friends.
Right.
Where you can do this, and people charge you anywhere from $300 to $500. $500 for a full frame. For doing the full thing. $300, $120, $150 to $300 is partial. Like pieces of it. And if you find somebody that would say, oh, I'll do it for $100, be leery. Because it's kind of like that old saying about, you know what you get when you get a $6 haircut?
What do you get?
A $6 fucking haircut. So don't bitch.
Well, don't bitch when you get your $6 haircut?
Yeah. And you got to turn your head to the side to make it look level. We've all been there, man, right?
We have. It's the best.
What mirror were you looking at? I was looking at the same mirror. Is your mirror crooked?
What? Yeah, it happens to young guys.
I had a flat top once. Some new barber gave me a flat top once, and when I got done, I literally had to tilt my head to the right to make it look flat. I had to walk around with my head tilting to the right, and then it'd be flat. If I didn't, if I had my head straight, then it looked like my flat top tilted off. It kind of like sloped off. It looked like it was
the midway.
A roof.
Yeah, the midway.
Yeah, I had a roof pitch. Roof pitch on it. Yeah.
Permanent 7-degree list to the starboard side. And the flat top is the hardest hairstyle to wear because it's the hardest to find a barber that will tell you the truth if they can't cut it. And then once you find one, you never leave them until you get PCS. But it's horrible because they tell you I can cut it. And then they just start jacking it up. It's awful.
Yep.
More gun talk. Matt, can we do ammunition talk? What kind of ammunition does Mike recommend to shoot, out of his Glock pistol? So Mike, we're just doing target shooting right now. So give me a recommendation for home security. Give me a recommendation for home security. Is that any different from what you carry in your concealed carry? And then give me a recommendation for just paper target shooting.
I use, when I paper target shoot, I shoot 115 grain ball ammo. I mean, ball ammo, 115 grain, whatever. That's fine. I do have a bunch of boxes, 147 grain subsonic. And the, like I said before, subsonic ammo, doesn't have a lot of powder behind it. So if you're teaching a young lady, your wife or your girlfriend to shoot with a 9mm, it's really good to shoot, subsonic because the recoil is not going to be as bad. And plus it's not as loud, you know? And so I shoot 147 grain subsonic. And then when I carry, I carry Hornady Critical Duty. It's a new round. It's got a silicone rubber tip on it. Ooh. And that just helps for penetration. And then I use, for home defense, I carry, I have a magazine full of, I think it's like 125 grain frangible. So I'm not worried about going through my walls.
Wait, you said, you said the word fangible, F-A-N-G-I-B-L-E?
Frangible, yeah, frangible. All right. So you can buy frangible animal, and it's just not gonna, it's not gonna over-penetrate. So if you miss the shot in your house, it's not going through the next wall into the next room hitting somebody.
Some drywall's gonna stop it? Wow.
Oh yeah, frangible animal, yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. That it could be going that fast and then be stopped that quick.
Your body's not going to stop it. That's for dang sure.
But drywall will. Interesting. Interesting.
It'll break it up. I mean, it's almost like a compressed. There's no copper jacket on it. It's like compressed type of material. And so, I mean, you can chip it away. I mean, if you had a metal instrument, and you just kind of rubbed it on there, you break chunks off of it.
My guess is the gunner, and we're talking about, we're doing gun talk today, and we're talking about the Glock 19. Another email. Mac, I love gun talk, and I'm actually impressed that you two ass clowns stayed on subject for more than 5 minutes. Well done, boys. My question, sure, just because we don't doesn't mean we can't. Remember that. Don't ever forget that. We may choose not to, but we can if we want to.
It's hard, though, because I've been thinking of, like, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches as we've been talking.
As we demonstrate on a regular basis, the show could take, and it's what I love about doing it, it can take a 90-degree turn, and we could start talking about Luke's wedding reception, okay?
Yeah. We're a cork in the bathtub. Who knows where its side is going to touch? It's just the third look. Whatever happens.
The
gravitational pull or just the wind. Doesn't matter.
Here's a text message. I'm enjoying gun talk today. I have a Glock. What would Mike tell me would be the number one thing he would do to a Glock if there's no modifications that have been done so far? It's an interesting question. Number one modification.
Number one modification, sights. Oh, put sights on your gun. The aftermarket sights. Now, in the past, I used to be a big fan of the Trigicon Tritium night sights.
Okay.
Huge fan of it.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
Why?
I mean, they're still great sights. Because, I used to like it because it was an aid in that kind. But now I realize you don't need it because the way I shoot, my thumbs are always pointing towards the target anyway. So I'm putting, so I'm there. I'm confident enough that I don't need to even see the sight. Okay?
Okay.
So the sights I use now they're Duke Defense. So the Barry, he owns Barry. It's called Duke Defense, and Barry used to be a former, he was a former Marine, good buddy, and he has his own company. He builds sights, and one of the sights he builds is it's a flat black rear sight, and then there's got a dot up front. So because that's the importance, front sight. You just put the front sight over the target and pull the trigger. Don't worry about rear sights. That's competition shooting. We're talking about speed. So sights, number one. Number two, barrel. Aftermarket barrels, match barrels, Storm Lake. I mean, there's a ton of them. Blinged out ones, the gold ones with suppressor threads. Because you never know if you're going to get a suppressor or not, but it's nice to have that capability. Never limit yourself. So sights and then barrel. Third, trigger. Get a better trigger for it. It's got a cleaner break, faster reset. So you don't have a lot of slop in it when you pull in the trigger. You don't feel a lot of that. They call it travel. It takes a long time for that trigger to travel all the way to the back. You're pulling, 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 pulling. It seems like forever, and all of a sudden, bang, goes off.
Right.
A lot of the new sights a new triggers that doesn't have that in there. So it's just a crisp, barely pull, snap, the gun goes off, snap, it resets, and it's ready to go off again.
And it's that, and it's that way every time.
Yeah, and it's that way every time.
Right.
And then that would be it, trigger. And that's it. That's really all you need. You know, and then if you really want to go all out, you want to spend the money, then I would tell you to get, and here's a great, you know, and I'm going to send you this because I didn't, before, like I said, it's like $500 to get your sight. You have to send your slide out, or buy one. Either way, it's still about $500, for them to mill out in a CNC machine, a milling machine, take that metal out so you can put an optic on the back end of that slide, right? It's like $500. And plus you're out of your gun for, you know, up to 6 months it could take. But Duke Defense, what they started selling now is an actual sled that slides into the beaver tail slot where your rear sight would be, that you can mount an optic to it like a plate. So no longer do you have to send your gun away or get it milled out. It's just a one stop. You buy this, you put your optic on it, you're done. And it does the same thing. And it's better. So yeah, he's done a great job. And actually I'll send you, some pictures of that. But Barry's done, I mean, I first saw it and I was like, holy smokes. I spent $550, you know, not to include the sight. And for the same price, I could get the sight and the sled and do it myself, you know, and save $150.
Did you find a way to send the one back like you did your Volkswagen?
No, I
your Volkswagen diesel.
It's pretty cool, man. I'll tell you, it's pretty cool.
All right.
I like it.
All right. The next question, Matt. Can he talk about night shooting? And is there anything that he does with his weapons, or is his weapon as he carries it? And then in parentheses he writes, "I'm talking about his concealed carry weapon." Is his weapon, okay, as he carries it on a daily basis, configured for night shooting?
Yeah. So in my house, I carry my gun that's in my house for my home defense has a Surefire light attached to the rail.
Okay.
It always stays on, and it's the Glock 22 too. So I fire. It's the 40 Smith & Wesson, the home gun. When I carry, though, I always carry a Surefire flashlight on my body. I got a Surefire, a little one. It's probably is. So when you make a fist, it sticks out maybe 3/4 of an inch, the light part, and then the back end sticks out maybe 1/2 an inch. You know, so it takes 2 lithium 123 batteries. Super bright. I carry it in my pocket, all the time, even if I'm not carrying a gun that day. But because the flashlight itself is a, you know, in my eyes, it's a weapon too, to use it right. It's got the beveled edges, so I can use it to strike if I have to. If I get in a fight, I can strike. It can blind you. I can momentarily blind you, not permanently blind you. You know, so I can use that, but I always carry a flashlight. I don't carry a tactical light that clips on, just for the simple reason that I don't really need it. And it doesn't do me any good other than snapping it on the rifle. So, or the pistol. So that's why I carry handheld, because maybe I'm not going to draw my gun, but I just need to bring the light up. You know. So I always carry a Surefire flashlight, and there's a bunch of knockoffs, but you know, and I've told you, and you know, you've seen them before. A Surefire flashlight is one of those things that will outlive you, and you can will it to your children.
It's a quality piece of gear.
Yeah.
Do you remember mag lights?
Yeah, remember those? They were so popular. The ones that you get the 2 AA batteries.
Right.
And they came with the red blue lens. The problem is they burned out all the time.
Well, one of the sons of Mr. Maggs, his son, joined the Marine Corps.
Right.
Right? And he wanted to become an infantry officer. And we were doing a mortar shoot out at Range 7 in Quantico. And I was one of the, I think I might have been the range safety officer. And so walk up, and lieutenants have, you know, got the safety brief, and before we go hot, you know, I look down, and here's somebody smoking in the mortar pit with a blue watch cap on with sequins in it. Now, I'm not going to tell you exactly what I said, but, yeah, it was Mr. Mag's son. And I didn't think it was a lieutenant at first. Who are you? I'm Lieutenant Mag. And I said, oh, hell no. And, I mean, I threw him off the range. Get out of here. Like, what?
Right.
You know, it's just stupid. It's beyond stupid. And, yeah, my Maglite story. But that they made a lot of money off those flashlights, man. That was surefire, though. If you're a professional.
They still do.
Yeah, if you're a professional,
but
though.
Surefire is like the Mercedes.
Right.
Yeah. The Maglite's kind of like your Chevy Nova. It'll last. Mm-hmm. It's durable. You got to take care of it.
You do.
You know, it'll never be worth anything. Right? You buy a Chevy Nova 20 years ago for $2,000. What can you sell for today? $2,000.
No, you can't. Maybe 500.
No, I know.
Maybe 500 if you kept it well, or maybe 1,000 if you kept it well, because they as Mike said, it's like the Toyota Celica, or what's Toyota's number one car right now? Little sedan.
The Camry.
Gazillion of those things on the road, an absolute.
Gazillion. Oh yeah.
And I'll tell you what, and if you take care of them. You can drive that thing for about 300,000 miles. They go, and they're just, I mean,
yeah.
Somebody sent me a picture of fangible ammunition.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting.
I always tell you that use that in your house. You don't want over penetration. It's good stuff. Or if you're shooting steel, targets, you got steel around your house. You got a little makeshift thing. You don't know what you're doing, but you shoot steel anyway. You know, regular bullets, when they hit steel, it's not even a dice roll. There's more options in the bullet hitting where it's going to go than you could get with the variations of dice. Maybe like the Dungeons and Dragons dice. If you had a leather pouch with the 24-sided dice, like one of our friends Luke does in San Diego. He carries that stuff. I know he does.
How do you know?
Because I've seen him when he's got his Uggs on. He's got that little leather.
The all right. The next question. Hey Mac, I was driving. He used a term about 10 or 15 minutes ago about ammunition he uses that doesn't have a lot of recoil, and said if you're training women,
subsonic ammo.
Okay, subsonic.
Yeah. And it's usually 147 grain in 9mm, 147 grain subsonic, or some people will refer to it as like low yield or low powder, whatever it is. It's just subsonic ammo. The gun will still go bang. It's used primarily for a lot of people use it for competition.
Yeah.
Because you don't get as much recoil, but you'll still put the plate down or put a hole in the paper. But I use it. I always tell women to train with it if they're first starting out, because it doesn't scare the holy gajibbers out.
No, it makes sense. It makes sense. Makes sense. Hey, Mac, I'm curious about the 100-yard small group that Gunner's talking about. What kind of ammunition is he using for that?
I'm using 115 grain I mean, regular ball ammo.
150 grade ball ammunition, nothing special.
115, 115.
115 at 100 meters.
Yeah. Why are people talking like it's such a great feat?
Because most people can't do that.
Oh.
So let me ask you this. So if you're a pretty good pistol shot, and that was your, was it your Glock 24? What was it? Your Glock 34?
My Glock 34.
So if you buy the
I can't do that in my Glock 19.
Right. So what you're telling people is if you're interested in shooting longer distances and you go out and buy a Glock 34, and you do a little.
They make the Glock 17L too, which is, it's a rare pistol. I've seen one maybe. But the Glock 17 long slide is actually longer than the Glock 34.
Long barrel.
And that one is strictly for, I mean, it's only used really as competition shooting. But that, yeah, like I said, that Glock 34 of mine, that thing is a nail driver. It's a tack driver, man. It is pretty awesome.
Email. Hey, Mac, does the gunner have a favorite pistol of all the ones he's spoken about?
Yeah, my Glock 19.
Glock 19 is your favorite.
And now it's my Glock 19X is my favorite.
What's the difference?
Well, the X is the X factor. It's got the X factor built into it. No, it's just because it's got the Glock 19 slide. And it has the Glock 17 frame. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. I get more ammo. I still get the Glock 17, the 19 feel, the recoil. And it's just, I don't know, maybe because it's one of the few guns that you can buy from Glock that comes in one solid color other than black. And it's also ambidextrous, which I don't care because I'm not a lefty, because lefties are
losers.
The spawn of evil.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is a reason why they were persecuted in the Middle Ages, okay?
Yeah.
Think about it. Think about it.
Yeah, if you were lefty and you had one other thing, you were a witch.
Yeah. Yeah, if you were lefty with like a droopy eye.
You're a witch.
You never got to third grade.
No.
Cause those morons would burn you at the stake. Whoa, yeah. Hey, what are we doing? Mom! Sorry, son.
If you were lefty with red hair, forget about it.
What a bunch of morons. Here's another email. Doing Glock talk today in our gun talk segment. Mac, this has been a pretty cool day. First of all, the kid from Alabama is getting married. I like that. I think the program helped him out, and I think it's a good thing that he's getting married. God bless the girl, as you said a little bit ago. They've taken on his country ass. Two, your attention span with the gunners is about that of a gnat's. Well done today, men. I want to encourage you to do this more often. I've enjoyed the segment. Gunner gets to showcase his vast knowledge of weapons, which he shows on occasion, but I don't think he shows off nearly enough. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Just wanted to write a note and say, keep up the good work. I discovered this program from a friend who was listening to it in his garage. I've never been in the Marine Corps. I admire your tribe greatly, and I love listening to All Marine Radio. Keep up the good work. We're certainly proud of you. Have a good Memorial Day, however you all celebrate it. Thanks for the gun talk. Mike, you got a fan there, bro.
I didn't know we let non-Marines listen to this show.
We do. It's all good. They can listen. They can listen.
I know. I'm just kidding.
I'm even embracing Happy Memorial Day. I don't know why. Happy Memorial Day, Mike. I'm not gonna get upset about it? I know it's inappropriate, and I know they don't know what they say, but you know, we could say it to each other. Hey Gunner, Happy Memorial Day. Have a great weekend. All right?
Yeah.
We get it.
Well, I say that every weekend. But, hey, you didn't ask me how I felt about Battalion Commander at 3rd LAR and his Sergeant Major getting relieved.
At 3rd what?
LAR.
Light Armored Reconnaissance Battalion?
Yeah.
They both got relieved? I didn't even look at the news today. I was off talking about something else.
Yeah, Eric relieved both of them for confidence, lack of confidence.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, there's some serious shit going on when the Sergeant Major gets relieved. That's my old battalion. See, unlike Mike,
yeah,
I was part.
Dragoons or the buffoons. No, that's second LAR.
Exactly, B team. The static display on the East Coast. The I was part of all three regiments, right, of the 1st Marine Division, right, as well as the Blue Diamond itself, the headquarters element. So, yeah, so I'm Mike's only been part of 5th Marines, 1st Marines, and the Blue Diamond itself.
LAR.
He's never. He's never been, which is a division asset, he's never been part of Regimental Combat Team 7. So, yeah, so what has to happen for the Sergeant Major to get relieved?
Well, Eric is the belief, Eric's like us, man. He believes that, you know, when you talk, you're in the command group, it's that vote is, there's no life preservers.
There's two wars in that boat, not one?
Yeah. So, yeah, damn. Pretty crazy, man.
Why do I know the name Candelario?
Yeah, don't get me. I know both of those guys.
You do?
Yeah.
Brad Castle retired last week. You see that?
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah, Brad Castle retired. Does it say anything? Does it say anything?
I haven't read. Someone sent me an email. One of our friends' wives that lives in Missouri. Or Kansas City.
Easy now with the global positioning coordinates.
Yeah, but she sent me, she was laughing about it, and she said, I can't believe, because he is somewhere in the report, he has the degree in gender studies.
Huh? What is that?
That's what I said. I said,
What?
They actually give those out? Gender studies? I have a degree in gender studies? What? Yeah. It's cracking up. Yep. Wait, it says, Yeah. The SEAL has a degree in gender studies, and then it's a GIF. You know the GIF is, right? GIF.
Yes.
And then it's a GIF of a woman spitting out her water as she's drinking a cup and laughing hysterically as she's trying to put the cup down.
You know, some of those
GIFs. The water sprays. Yeah. Those GIFs are funny.
Some of those GIFs are pretty funny. Some people overdo it, but some of them are pretty funny.
Yeah, because it was ice. The whole thing, we go through there, and I said, good. Both were idiots. She's like, ah. And then, wait, the CEO has a degree in gender studies?
Yeah.
GIF of the woman spitting her drink over the whole table as she's slapping hysterically.
All right, hold on. Here's another email. Are you guys not going to say anything about the NFL's new policy? Mike,
no.
do you want to say anything?
I'm permanently banned. I don't care.
I thought you were a Cowboy fan.
And you know what? No, I'm not. I didn't watch the NFL because of that.
Well, you don't have to watch it.
They interject. No. Because now there's teams that have come out and said that they will still support their members and they'll pay the fine.
Okay, look.
You know what then? Here's Michael Musselman, NFL commissioner, right?
Right.
Michael Musselman, NFL commissioner. Okay? Ready for this?
Yes.
Michael McNamara, you're the owner of
San Francisco 49ers. No, San Francisco 49ers. I hate the Colts.
Okay. You're the 49er owner.
Yes.
And your quarterback.
Wait a minute.
Again,
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who abstained? The NFL announced that if I just said NHL, if you missed the fight last night in Game 7, did you see it?
It's on YouTube right now. I saw it, yeah.
It's awesome.
It's on YouTube.
This guy named Tom Wilson went hysterical when this guy from the other team ripped one of his guy's jersey off and fired it across the ice. He went hysterical. And then they get both thrown in the penalty box for 2 minute misconducts. They both come out. Wilson's like running in place as the doors ready to open. He comes out. His gloves are flying off as the door opens and his stick goes flying. And then they go at it. That's why hockey is awesome. It's a great fight. And they get 5 minutes for fighting and then they play again. It's like, it's the way sports should be.
Yeah, it's like the goons of the 70s, the hockey goons of the 70s. Man.
But you got to be able to play though.
Skate
now.
Skate worth the hell, but
now they can
were
skate.
Just fighters.
Now they
they're
can
boxers
skate.
On ice.
Yeah, Wilson's a good player. Made a behind the back pass on one of the goals. The NFL announces that by unanimous vote that they're going to adopt this policy. Oh, some people didn't vote. What? The 49ers abstained.
Yeah, they didn't vote. Yeah. Yeah. So here, Mac, you're the owners of the 49ers.
Yes.
I'm the NFL commissioner.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Game one, your team comes out and takes a knee just to prove a point. And you're going to pay the fine, right?
Yeah.
You agreed to, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mike, are you called Gunner?
That.
Or are you as a commissioner, or what do you want to be called?
Yeah, you can call me Gunner as the commissioner.
Hey, it's the right. I know the policy, and I'll pay the fine.
Yeah. Hey, great, Mac. I really appreciate that. Thanks for the phone call. Hey, by the way, you'll see it on the public. You'll see it on the news tonight. But I've already done a ruling, and as the commissioner of NFL, your team is suspended for a year.
What?
You're not playing any more games.
What do you mean?
So
I paid the fine.
Think about that.
I paid the fine though.
Yeah, you're paying the fine too, but you're also paying. You're not playing the 16 games. You're out this year. You can think about it this whole year.
What do you mean?
Good luck to you.
I've got my rights.
Good luck to you.
Be free. First Amendment.
Goodbye and good luck to you. And I wish you the best.
Wait a minute. I abstained. I didn't vote against it. I'm not against anybody. I want everybody to love me.
You got to take a side, jackass. You kidding? You didn't even have a backbone to take a side.
How weak is that? It's just, and then, not only is it's so weak that from the 49ers perspective, look, if you're not, vote against it then. Vote against it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be a man.
Yeah.
Stand up for what you believe
balls
in.
Balls to abstain.
Yeah, and be the one team that, at least people will respect you. But when you don't even take a vote, no decision. It's still a decision. It's the worst decision, you coward.
It is. It's the worst. And then the NFL comes out and says it's unanimous. As far as I can call, it unanimous means everybody. Okay? It doesn't mean, it was unanimous among the people that voted.
No. It means everybody that was eligible to vote voted.
So stupid. So your team. All right.
Is a bunch of cowardly, spineless, freaking cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish. Now, here's what, and this is what I'd say to the 49ers, okay? If you're so into, everybody being able to express themselves, then you really ought to hire Colin Kaepernick, right? And hire Eric Reid back.
Right.
Right? You're into it. Right? Why would you not hire those guys? Right. You could probably use a backup quarterback and another safety. Why would you not? That would be bad for business.
Colin Kaepernick sat out all of last year, and now he's filed a lawsuit against the NFL saying that they were obstructionist.
He didn't sit out. Nobody will hire him. But again, that's just business, okay? If I hire either one of those guys,
What happens? What happens to the narrative of my off season that I'm building on? You know, I've got good young players coming in. We were 8-8 last year. You know, this year we got a chance to go to the playoffs, and now I sign Colin Kaepernick. What happens to my community? What happens to my goodwill? What is the number one story about my football team now going to be? Him.
Not about your about football.
Yeah. I don't need that, and I don't need to take the revenue hit. And season ticket sales and advertisers leaving and have veterans showing up. I don't need that, okay? So I don't need to collude with anybody to tell me that. So, sorry,
right.
Boys, not buying what you're selling. Good luck to you. You want to be a social activist, it comes at a price. Oh, wait a minute. I want to protest on your time. I want to cost your business money and ratings, but I don't want any repercussions.
Well,
what world do you live in?
Here's a sign and a marker. Go find a street corner and go protest.
Yeah.
Don't do it on my dime.
And then
yeah.
Start your own football league. Get your own TV contract. Have at it. Good luck.
Right.
But this is the real world, and there's real consequences. Except if you abstain, then there's no consequences. What a gutless.
What a gutless team, man.
I know. It's embarrassing.
And that's your football team, isn't it?
It's the chubby little son of the parents who own it. And he is an idiot. He's a village
he's a
idiot. Oh, my
yeah,
God. It's embarrassing.
Well, he's the saying that there is a village without an idiot right now, too. It takes a village to raise.
So
this idiot has moved on.
After all this, the owner of the New York Jets said the same thing. Hey, look, you know, I'll pay the fine for my players if they want to come out and protest. I'll pay the fine for them. Okay.
Right.
Okay, so if you're a player, let me give you some advice as an agent. You better be on your last year of the contract, and you better be getting ready to retire because the labor market for guys who do this to get subsequent contracts is not very good right now. Okay? So if I'm your agent, like, yeah, hey, Mike, I know you feel really strongly about this stuff, okay? But not on Sunday. Okay? Any other day of the week is good, not on Sunday. Okay? This is about our money.
ESPN's not going to touch you.
It's about our money. We've got to take care.
ESPN's not stupid.
Got to take care of our money, bro.
ESPN's owned by Disney, and Disney ain't gonna play this game.
Disney has a saying: if you work there, if you don't come in on Saturday, don't even bother showing up on Sunday. That's
oh yeah. Well, there's a saying that goes, you know, like they have a motto: the happiest place on earth. But there's also a saying in the Disney Corporation: the happiest place on earth, unless you work there.
That's true.
Disney is a slave driving machine. They are rowing the boat. They have the guys whipping people. And if you're not rowing fast enough, they don't fire you. They throw you off the boat.
Yeah, you get launched.
Yeah. And so Disney's not going to play that game.
No.
I mean, shit, no, man.
No. No, they don't.
Yeah.
But the NFL, they've gone through all of this, and guess what's going to happen? They're going to continue to have this problem. And the only way that it will stop are as the players look around and they're not going to be able to, because first of all, there's no collusion. As I said, you don't need to collude with any, these owners don't need to talk to each other and say, I can't hire that guy, man. My ticket sales will get hammered. I'm going to have protests outside the stadium. I don't need that. You know, he's radioactive. He's toxic for my business. I can't do that.
Yeah.
You know, and so they won't be able to prove collusion, and they'll be unemployed. They'll be unemployed.
Right.
And Eric Reed is even, you know, I guess he was, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals talked to him at one point, and they asked him, like, well, what's your deal with this protest now? He's like, I'm going to find another way. I'll still be active, but I'll find another way. Well, you know what? That's what we said all along. You have a marketing machine like nobody ever knows. Right? You get attention 7 days a week, 24 hours a day as a football player in the NFL, and you've got to choose this venue to go down and we know it's your right, but you guys have experienced our right to not watch. And you
it's
could,
also our right to stick our boot in your ass.
Yeah. So, and you guys still don't get the memo. You still don't. And look.
Well, no, I think
is the NBA is the NBA doing this? No, the NBA is what percentage is black in the NBA?
92%.
92? Probably more than that.
Well, I'm giving some of the bench warmers, you know,
some love.
I'm not talking about starters. Starters, 99.
Exactly. Right? But why, you know, why is it
the towel boy and the, you know, the team manager?
Why isn't the NBA, you know, why isn't the NBA having this problem though? You want to know why? Because those players, they watch the NFL. And the NFL players now have got themselves locked into this. Well, if we back down, right, we look like the plantation owner just laid the wood to us. We can't have that. So now we're stuck in this place where we can't back down. And the NBA players are like, yeah, we don't need to go there. We can find other ways to be articulate in our dissent and do our thing. And our league is doing okay. We don't, you know, we can find other ways.
And they don't need this. Yeah.
But the truth is, there's other ways.
An NBA stadium doesn't seat as many as an NFL stadium. So they can't take that kind of hit.
No, nobody makes the revenue. You know, look, the NFL is what, I can't remember, $34 billion a year business, something like that. Number two is the NBA at $4
billion. Yeah.
Yeah, so we don't. Hey, everybody needs to relax, man. We don't need to be taking any revenue hits. But let me just say, and Mike and I have talked about this. It's not like we get the issues, right? Guys like us, we're willing to help. We're willing to participate in whatever dialogue in a community. You know, we're community guys. We're leaders in communities, so it's what we do. Let's do it, but. Don't insult
the platform.
Yeah. Find a better way. Find a better way. So, but you know what? After all this, it's going to happen again. Mark my words. And it's just, it's just stupid. It's just stupid.
But I just told you what would happen if I was the commissioner. I'd be like, thank you for coming. But do you know what that's going to mean to me? I don't care. You made a decision. You get to live with it.
No, you don't understand. We want life without consequences, okay? Life without consequences.
Yeah, that's
called death. What? Life without consequences is called death?
When you're dead, you don't have to worry about consequences. In all other facets, you do. Everything you do has consequences. When you're dead, it's too late.
Okay. One more Glock question, all right, and then I'll let you go.
Oh, okay.
My Glock 21 shoots about 4 inches high at 25 yards, and I'm assuming it's because the bullet is climbing through its zero. Does the gunner know about what distance these guns are zeroed for, and what is his hold on a 100-yard shot? Oh, yeah, and I'm a proud lefty. Yeah, you're lucky you're living down there.
Oh, God. There's his problem. Not the gun.
You're lefty. Somebody told me yesterday. Oh, did I never told you. Guess how many hours I stood in line at the DMV on Tuesday?
9.
6.
Oh, pretty close.
Guess what I told the 83-year-old 4'10" Asian lady that tried to cut in line at the 5 hour and 45 minute mark in front of me.
Where do you want your body to be found?
Where do you want your ashes to be delivered to? Mike, I kid you not, 6 hours in line at the DMV. It was awesome. It was awesome. Okay, so let's see. What's the distance that these pistols are zeroed at?
It's the ammunition really comes down to is look at the ballistic coefficient of his ammunition. And, I mean, at 25 yards, if he's shooting 4 inches high, then there's something wrong with his, either his sight picture or, his anticipation of his shot.
Ooh.
Yeah, 4 inches at 25 yards, that seems awfully high unless something, usually you see those problems if the sights have been manipulated with, they've been incorrectly installed, again, improper sight picture, or he's anticipating recoil.
Okay,
or shot.
Let's assume he's got an appropriate sight picture. Then what? Check the sight? Because at 25 meters, it shouldn't be that.
Yeah, 25, no. Again, it depends on the ammunition. And I don't have it here, and it'd take you 5 minutes to get up to my phone. But so look at the ballistic coefficient. You know, he didn't say what caliber, did he? So he says
Glock
21?
Yeah, Glock 21.
Oh, so he's shooting 45.
Yeah.
Glock 21 is 45, full size 25. 45. Yeah. There's a problem.
What?
45s, man. I mean, you know, here's what I tell. Go with the 10 millimeter. If you want that big bullet, go with the 10 millimeter. It's a 40 Smith & Wesson, but still, don't tell anybody. Or the Gap, 45 Gap. That's the Glock action pistol. That Glock actually made that round for, they thought it didn't. But it's the Gap, 45 Gap is also a 45 round. But it's his ammunition. If you're shooting 45, I'd tell him to shoot, maybe shoot like a Spear Gold Dot 45, got a little, or a plus P. Shoot plus P. Shoot a couple, like 5 rounds plus P and see if the zero change. You're going to get more power. You're going to get, off the top of my head, Mac, if he's shooting ball ammo, 45, all that pistol, he's pushing maybe 950 feet per second. Whereas a 9 millimeter, I'm pushing 1300, feet per second. So my ballistic coefficient is much better. My trajectory is a little bit flatter. So, and where do I aim when I'm shooting my Glock 34? I'm aiming just a little bit high on, so I'm looking at, if I'm shooting a 6-inch plate, or an 8-inch plate, I'm shooting just maybe an inch high out of center. Maybe an inch high out of center. Not at the top of the plate, but like it from the center mass.
An inch high.
An inch high out of center mass. But if you're shooting a 45, then yeah, tell him to shoot a plus P. Shoot some plus P ammo and see if he gets any change. Or, you know what? Get rid of the 21 and get a 22, 40 Smith & Wesson. Because you won't have that problem. 40 Smith & Wesson is a smooth round. You get the benefits of a 45, but yet you get the velocities of a 9 millimeter. It's kind of, again, it's a marriage made in heaven, man. It's good to do.
He just responded. Good idea. I'll try out some different loads.
Plus P, though. Plus P. Okay. Gotta do plus P.
We carry gold dots. Thanks for the info.
Yeah, Spirit Gold Dot, plus P. That's good ammo. It's really good ammo. It's expensive. But if he wants, to find out a problem. And then, I always tell people, document. Carry a little book with you. Write in, indoor range, today's date, the ammunition I'm shooting. And then any variations. If it's outdoors, wind, humidity, sunlight position, all of that stuff. Because then you're building yourself a library of experience so you don't have to go back out there and re-experience that experience again. Oh, I remember this. No, you get out there and you're pulling up a book and you're like, oh, okay. Hey, and then I wrote some notes to myself. I was doing this. Hey, and also tell him, if you're listening again, go buy some snap caps. And I've told you this before. I've told you, Mac, right? Snap caps are dummy rounds that have a spring-loaded primer, so you can actually fire them in your gun without really worrying about striker damage, the striker falling on in an empty cavity. So it'll actually hit the back end of that snap cap. So what I do is I take snap caps. I'll take 5 snap caps and maybe five rounds, and load up, throw them in my pocket or throw them in something, and without looking, I'm pulling the ammunition out of the hat and loading it. Right? Because you can do that by feel now, if you know what you're doing. You load them. So I don't know where the dummy round is in correlation in my magazine with the live rounds.
Right.
So I chamber the first round, and I go to pull. I pull trigger, and I can catch myself then anticipating recoil. Right. You know, I do that little lunge forward.
Even you do that?
I do it. No, I still do that because you got to go back to the base. You got to go really back far to the basics to kind of understand where how you got here. And
I didn't think you would have to do that.
No, I do. I do because I still hone my skills. I don't anticipate shots. No, but I still do it. Catch myself. And to me, saying that I've never done it, I've never anticipated my shot. No, that's not a lot. That's a lot.
Right.
I have, but this catches me and it reinforces good behavior. So you like, oh shit, I wasn't thinking. And then you go through the next two magazines without anticipating recoil. Well, you just learned a lesson. You learned a good lesson. So you didn't build what we call the training scar. You're not building bad scars. The scarring is bad. You don't want to scar in your training.
Do you want me to read you the messages about 45 ammunition and stopping power, or do you want me to skip them?
It's just someone probably trying to get my goat.
Yeah, a little bit. You can't say 45 without me getting a handful of emails about it. And what do you think I ought to do? I just got an email, Calving Pens Inquiry. Lions Trading Limited, to which I'm a worker, has asked me to inquire about the availability of calving pens. Does your company accept credit cards as a form of payment? Kindly email me back with the types of pens you have and whether you accept, should I say, yeah, we accept Visa and MasterCard. The,
calving pen?
Yeah, calving pens. Is that calving? Calving? Having a calf. Calving pens.
Yeah. When did we talk about calving pens?
We didn't. I don't know. Somebody sent me from Lions Trading Limited, 1945@gmail.com.
Yeah. I'd sell them some calving pens.
I'll sell you some calving pens. We've got the we've got
checks in the mail, baby.
We've got a 10x5 pen. That's our specialty. We call it our love chamber. It's nice and cozy.
It's got red velour lining. Gets them in the mood.
And then we have the 20x20. That's the family calving pen. And it's more like a birthing room that you see in a modern day hospital. Oh my God.
To make fun of the light of the 45 stuff, because that always cracks me up. You know, and I always say, listen, old timer. All right, calm down.
That's what we got taught. We got taught that though.
Yeah, calm down there, old timer, about your 45. I'm not bad mouthing 45s. I'm just saying, you know, there's a thing called, it's this new word called technology. All right. And through technology, we have done things like cell phones and voice over IP and video over IP and also, bonded core technology where we bond copper to lead. And so we get controlled expansion. So, it's that whole don't believe everything you read about, you know. Well, the 45 came about because
we
military in World War I.
Exactly. Yeah. We all got taught that, right. And you know it.
Yeah, and we all believed it.
Mike
Musselman then took the blue pill and was exposed to the Matrix and found out that the world we live in is a lie.
That's sobering. We all drank the Kool-Aid and on all, that.
And you just, a marketing campaign. And we fell for it, man. We did. And we still fall for it.
It's disturbing. Disturbing. Yeah. China has said that the worker that lost
that got a TBI from some kind of sonic event in China. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
China has said that that didn't happen. The President Trump has issued a pardon for Jack Johnson, the boxer. Who was
really?
Who was convicted of a felony. I can't even remember what it was. Convicted of a felony years ago, but he is officially pardoned him.
You want to hear one of my predictions?
Sure. Do you make a lot of them?
Well, not all of them, but this one came to me in the dream.
Oh, I had a dream last night that I choked my dad.
You're choking your grandmother again?
No, my dad. I don't know what happened, but he dumped charcoal on the rug. He dumped a whole bunch of charcoal.
I choked my dad.
Yeah, and I came around the corner and I looked and I was like, "What the hell?" And then he looked at me and he said, "You want to go?" Right? Which is the hockey phrase.
Yeah.
And
is that a stupid question or what? Of course. Bam! Hit him right in the face.
That's exactly.
Then you say yes.
That's exactly. What happened? I did my Tom Wilson impersonation. And again, if you haven't seen that NHL hockey fight last night, you have to watch it because Tom Wilson is the guy who plays for the Capitals. He's going hysterical when this guy grabs his jersey, rips it off his teammate, and then throws it. You can hear him going,
yeah.
Oh, hell no. But one of the linesmen has a hold of him, and he can't get to the guy. And he's literally almost like levitating because he's so pissed. He's so pissed. And then they fight.
Well, here's my prediction.
Yeah, let me hear your prediction. I have one, too.
Pete Rose is going to get a pardon, presidential pardon.
Pete Rose is going to get a pardon?
Yeah.
I thought you had to be innocent to get a pardon and be wrongly convicted.
He is wrongly convicted.
No, he's not. He's about as dirty as a human being can possibly be. Why do you think Bench and Joe Morgan
just upheld the whole sports betting thing?
No.
Now, granted, he was in sports when he's making the bets, but that's a technicality.
Minor technicality. Now that we can legalize it in any state, Pete Rose
is going to get a pardon, and then he's going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Here's a prediction. Okay. The Marine Corps accepted 3-man fire teams so they could buy out of Hyde. The infrastructure, personnel infrastructure, boat spaces for more cyber and more intel and people like that.
Yeah, the infantry takes it in the ass.
Right. And sometime down the road when the Marine Corps expands, right, when you'll see 700 Marines added to infantry squads, and the squad will be a 15-man squad, which will be 3-4-man fire teams, and in addition to the headquarters element. So that's why that happened the way it happened. That's Mac's prediction. Pretty smart, Mike. That's how the game gets played, boys and girls. We sacrifice one of the Lance Corporals.
Well, it's a shell game, Mac.
Exactly.
You know, it's always been a shell game.
So we're going to get what we need, and then when we get a little bit more juice, we're going to add those Lance Corporals back into the mix. Boom! Going to be ready.
The problem with the Marine Corps shell game, though, is we have so many shells on the table, we forget. We have even forgotten what a P is.
What? Hey, yeah, remember? It's the shell for the fire team. Oh, where'd we put that key? Damn it.
Where did that one go?
I hate it when I outsmart myself. We can't find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to unlock it and get all the documents out. We don't know where the key is, though.
We don't even know where the key is.
We don't know where the vault
is. We're still looking for the keys for the shells that we are trying to figure out. We're past, like, Vietnam era.
Yeah, we tricked ourselves. Damn it, again. I hate when that happens.
Yeah, we're smarter than our own self. Damn it.
One more email about the NFL.
Okay.
You know what? I was hoping to be able to watch this year. I've been an NFL fan, probably like you two, since I was a kid. And although I did find other things to do on my Sunday, I was really hoping that the NFL could get beyond this. And it's clear that they're not. I can't tell you how irritated I am with these idiots. And I think they are in a catch-22. I think the biggest deterrence is that these guys can't get jobs and they won't be able to prove collusion. That is the thing that will keep other players from protesting. Because as long as it's about social justice and nobody touches my money, I'm all in. But when you start nicking me, I'm not that much of a social I'm not that much of a social warrior. I'm more my own financial warrior than I am about anybody else. It'll be interesting to see if anybody steps out of that. Also, one other question.
Once you get money, game over.
Yeah, once you start nicking money, he's right. How about the North Koreans shutting down their nuclear mountain that they had already imploded? What a selfless group of noble statesmen they are. Is that the best? Hey, to show you how serious we are, we're going to officially shut down the mountain that we collapsed earlier this year.
Right. So if there's any chance of power still being supplied to something in that rubble, it's now going to be turned off.
That's what kind of people we are. And we're going to invite everybody to watch it. Bravo.
Gracious.
Bravo. Well done. Well done. All right. What are you doing the rest of the day?
I think my daughter is going to – we're going to go see the movie Deadpool.
What movie?
Deadpool.
Deadpool? What's that about?
I don't know. She wants to go see it.
What a good dad. Do you think your fault – will you stay awake?
No. That's why I'm kind of looking forward to it because I need to take a nap.
I am within like 10 minutes of the movie. I'm asleep.
Oh, yeah.
I've stayed awake in a couple.
Yeah. Unless it's really entertaining to me, then I'll stay awake.
Yeah, I stay awake in The Life of Pi because my daughter, Colleen, told me it was a Disney movie. It's not.
What?
Okay. Yeah. Did you see it?
No.
Okay, The Life of Pi is a horror movie. It's not a horror movie, but it's a meaningful movie where this tiger eats, he eats everybody. And so Colleen told me it was a Disney movie. I said, hey, Colleen, because it had a tiger on it. I said, Colleen, you want to go see Life of Pi? She said, yeah, it's a Disney movie. It's about a tiger.
Oh, this is about the tiger in the boat.
Yes. It's not a Disney movie. So the tiger, so the first scene is the family owns a zoo and they're moving from India to Canada and so they're talking about this and the kid like starts messing around near the tiger cage. And so the dad, to teach the kid a lesson, he ties a goat up near, just on the other side of the cage and he ties a goat there and he gets the whole family there and they're all standing there and then he lets the tiger into the cage area. And you're watching this,
and the tiger played with the goat.
I think it's a Disney movie, right? And so I'm watching it, and all of a sudden, the tiger attacks, kills, and eats the goat. And I'm thinking, whoa, I've never seen a Disney movie start like this before. And it just got worse. The ship crashes, everybody dies, and then this kid is alive with in the lifeboat with the tiger, hyena. There's some kind of orangutan in there.
This is a joke.
No, there's
and a rabbi
and a zebra. No, and a zebra, and then the tiger.
A rabbi and a Episcopalian preacher and a deacon from the Baptist church and a tiger and a hyena.
And the tiger
in a boat.
And the tiger eats everybody. And Colleen went to the bathroom and wouldn't come out because she was scared. She had
didn't eat the boy, though.
No, he survived. He survived.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you find out it's all.
So that would be the name of whose name was Pi, the tiger or the kid? Or maybe the life of Pi, because that's the way the tiger looked at everything. It was actually like Pi, apple pie.
Oh, I thought it meant pi squared, 3.14.
Maybe. Maybe the tiger's eyes, everything looked like pi. And maybe the tiger liked pi.
So, what's the name of this movie you're going to?
Deadpool.
Deadpool.
Deadpool
okay.
2.
All right. Happy Memorial Day.
Yeah, I mean, it's not happy, but, yeah.
No, I'm not going to. I'm trying to desensitize myself to it. I think we should embrace it. Happy Memorial Day, man. Have a great weekend.
Yeah. Go Sox.
What?
Go Red Sox.
Don't say that anymore. You always try to say that and hang up real quick. Okay? Stop saying that.
Sorry. Go Red Sox.
What a jackass. Yeah, I decided to let Happy Memorial Day go. I mean, right? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah. So have a Happy Memorial Day, right? Have a good weekend. You deserve it. If you're part of this tribe, you do deserve it. They don't know what they're saying. Let them go. Don't even waste your time. I have yard work to do today. I have to get a mountain of tree clippings out of my backyard. They're so big I can't get them through the gate. Yeah. So I have to figure out a way to move them. And I don't know how to move them. They're too big. So I have them in a tarp. And all four corners are tied together. So I'm going to try to slide a furniture mover underneath it, like with four rollers. And then push it and drag it to the gate. Once I get it to the gate, I'll untie it. I'll unload stuff into the truck, right? Till I get it so that I can get it, move it through the gate. And then once I move it through the gate, I'll have my neighbor. Yeah, my neighbor, who's a crazy Vietnam veteran. That's right. He's an A-4 pilot from Vietnam. Yeah, crazy as a loon. He's a good dude, though, man. He's a good dude and a good neighbor. That's right. All right, have a great day. This program repeats itself right now. Yeah, we're into bonus time to the tune of 43 minutes. Gunner never does that either. Yikes. Losing his mind. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. On a Friday edition. On a Thursday, All Marine Radio. Out.